Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord again, isn't it? And I'm glad you're able to be here. I have a friend up in Shelby that says, good to see you and good to be seen. So it's good to be seen today also. Yes, okay. Children are to be dismissed for children's church. Good. Thanks for that reminder. Okay, children, have a good time. I know you will. It's a lot of fun downstairs. That's right. Okay. Those going to children's church can go right now and follow your leader there. Good. Well, thank the Lord for another year. Yes. When you get my age, you thank the Lord we can get out of bed in the morning. That's good. You know, you have a lot to be thankful for here at Calvary Baptist. Did you know that? For example, I've been in a few churches where there are no instruments at all to play the congregational songs. And no song leader. And no choir. And no special music. So you are blessed here. And don't take these things for granted. A pianist and organist in the same service. And a choir singing. Isn't that great? And a soloist. My, that's a blessing. And you have a wonderful church building here. And good officers and leaders. Good pastor and his wife and family. And a good song leader here. I hadn't seen him lead the singing before. And I see some new faces out here, so that's a blessing. And I think it's good to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church in Bucyrus. And we're glad you're here. And I trust now this last day of the year, wow, that maybe you can take home with you at least one truth that can help your life this new year and this week. Let's pray. Father God, we thank Thee for another Lord's Day and for You being our God and our Father another year. We thank You for Your faithfulness and we love You for it and love You for Your holiness and righteousness and Your wisdom and power and all-knowingness. We thank Thee that we're able to be here this last day of this year. And Lord, I pray that You'd help me to focus on that which is necessary and know the fine art of omission. And I pray that Your will might be done here, Lord, in this hour. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Niccolo Paganini was a gifted violinist and a 19th century showman. On one occasion, the house was filled to hear him play his violin. As he began to play this difficult piece, all of a sudden, one of the strings on the violin snapped and hung dangling from his violin. Perspiration beat up on his forehead, and he frowned, and he continued to play. As he continued to play this difficult piece, another string snapped. And to the surprise of the conductor, a third string snapped. And now, here he's playing his Stradivarius violin with three dangling strings and one left to play on. And he continued to play and he finished the piece on that one string. And when he was through, the crowd stood to their feet and the good Italian cheering shouted, "Bravo! Bravo!" Paganini motioned to the people to be seated. They knew no way was there going to be an encore. He lifted his violin. He turned to the conductor and nodded to him. And then with a smile on his faith. He said, Paganini, on one string. And then he took that Stradivarius violin, put it under his chin, and on that one string played a beautiful encore to the amazement of the conductor and the audience. Paganini, on one string. And could I add this? And an attitude of fortitude. Paganini on one string, having an attitude of fortitude. Now, you know what attitude is. It's a manner of acting or feeling or thinking that shows one's opinion and outlook in that moment. Fortitude is the strength to bear misfortune, to bear pain and suffering and hardship calmly and patiently with courage. Fortitude. Please let me speak about that this morning, this last day of this year 2006, having an attitude of fortitude. I wonder if Paganini would have been preoccupied and focused on those three dangling strings. Do you think he would have made it through that difficult piece of music? I doubt if he'd have made it very far. And you know, dear friends, this morning, I wonder if the truth was really known. Far too often, you and I spend far too much time watching and looking at the three dangling strings, the strings that pop, dangle, and snap, and forget about the one string we have left, our attitude about it all. One preacher said, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% how we respond to what happens to us. You know, Paganini couldn't change those three dangling strings, could he? And there's a lot of things in our life that we can't change. We've all grown older another year. Can't change it. Can't change the tick of the clock. Although we tried this morning when the power went out here in Bucyrus. You know, it's only 7:30. Can't change the weather, the temperature. Can't change the wind. Can't change people's reactions to us and actions toward us. Can't change who won the ball game or who lost it. Can't change the fact that when you just rake your neighbor's leaves off your lawn, the wind blows them back from the neighbors. Can't change it. The people in Denver, Colorado couldn't change the delay at the airport recently with their blizzard storm. Can't change the waiting rooms or the doctor's offices or traffic jams. You might as well get an attitude of fortitude, get through it. Can't change the x-ray, cost of groceries and gasoline and clothes and everything. Can't change the irritations on the job, disappointments in life. You know, I was just recently read about Murphy's Laws. You can't change any of them. For example, nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything takes longer than you think. And if anything can go wrong, it will. Murphy's Laws, can't change them. The other line always moves faster. And no matter how long and how hard you shop for that item after you bought it, it's cheaper at another store. You ever been there? Friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. Well, some of Murphy's laws, they don't change either. And the fact is, we can't change a lot of things, so we have to play on the one string, huh? And apply that this morning to an attitude of fortitude. Now, some of us are getting up a little bit in years, and I wonder if you can remember when you were 20 years old. You remember that? Or 30 years old? Remember when you're full of vim, vigor, and vitality? You just stepped out and risked things and stepped out and trust God. Nothing's impossible with God. But you know, sometimes the little older we get, we lose that spirit of enthusiasm in life. And we tend to maybe even complain and murmur a little too much. You know, I think it's a lot better to act like you're 30 when you're 40 years old. To act like you're 40 when you're 65 years old. You know, I think it's better to be 75 years young than 45 years old. Some people that are 45 live and act like they're 75. It's better the other way around. How about this? How about a man that's 85 years old, but he's acting like he's 40 years old? I want to talk about him. That 85-year-old man who acted like he was 40 years old. We first meet him in Numbers chapter 13. Would you turn to that, please? Numbers chapter 13. I want to talk about this man, Caleb, for a few minutes. Most of you are familiar with his story, but maybe there's a thing or two that we could learn from him. Let me look at the life of Caleb for these few moments today in his spiritual history. The spiritual history of Caleb. Let's trace it. I'd like to begin with this. Caleb the sufferer. You know, he suffered a lot. And he had a need for fortitude in his life. When he came to Kadesh Barnea, remember when they came to the edge of the promised land? And they say he was one of the spies that went over to spy out the land. He was 40 years old then, which means that he was born a slave in Egypt with the rest of his nation. So he was born a slave. He went through the difficult time of being a slave in submission to the cruel Egyptian soldiers and whoever. And there's something else about him. Why he did not die in the wilderness, he had to listen to the murmuring and the complaining of the people. Remember when those spies went in to spy out the land? And they came back with that evil report, that negative report. Notice in Numbers 13, I'm skipping a lot of things I had in mind to say, but I'm skipping a lot of things. But let's come to verse 25. Numbers 13, 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Well, you know, those clusters of grapes was so heavy that they had to carry them on two staffs. And they also brought home some pomegranates and some figs. That land is flowing with milk and honey, fruitful. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, why would they have to say that? Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Who are those children of Anak? Well, you skip to verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. Verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. Pause for a moment. You know, and not a kind of a gloom, doom kind of report. A negative, evil report. We saw the people, they're strong. We saw those giants, those Anaks, those giant of stature people. And the cities are walled up and fortified. Verse 30. And Caleb, there's our man. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against a people, for they are stronger than we." Let's pause there. And so Caleb has to listen to all this negative stuff. How many? We don't know in those at that time how many days they had before they tried to go out and spout the land. But after he did, he came back with a good report. He had to listen to the murmuring and complaining of these people. And in fact, it even says here in verse 14, in chapter 14, verse 1, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt." And so Caleb here, born in slavery, born a slave himself. He didn't die in the wilderness, but he had to suffer with these unbelieving other spies and the whole nation during those 40 years of wilderness wanderings. And when he gave his report, "Let's go in and possess the land," he was outnumbered. Can we say? He was rejected. And there's a man that's had some hardships as part of his spiritual history. He wanted to go forward. They wanted to go backward. Verse 5, chapter 14 of Numbers. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." Let's just pause a moment there. And so they speak against Moses. I believe he loved Moses. And Caleb respected him, and he had to hear that murmuring against the leader of Israel on top of all these other things. And there's more. Verse 9. "Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. On top of all this other kinds of suffering and hardship, now the people hated him and wanted to take his life. Caleb, the sufferer. And time will not permit me to read some verses in chapter continued in chapter 14. But the Lord said, all of you that are 20 years old and older are going to die in the wilderness. And so Caleb would have to witness funeral services as the people died off and would not inherit their possessions. Caleb the sufferer. But there's Caleb the follower. I like this. Caleb the follower. One verse in chapter 14 of Numbers, and then we'll turn to Joshua chapter 14. But notice God had a testimony that He was giving for Caleb, His man. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had, what's those two words? Another spirit with him. Can we say he had a different kind of an attitude and hath followed me fully. Ah, here's Caleb the follower. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He follows me fully, completely. He surrenders all and follows me. Caleb the follower. Now we don't hear much more about Caleb. Some 45 years later, we read about him and turn to Joshua chapter 14. And now, 45 years later, we want to read about Caleb. The follower. Caleb was saying something like this: what the Lord left for me to do, I completed with my whole self. I gave myself completely to it. Could we say he had a devotion completely to the Lord? Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Now Moses had died. Joshua is now the leader. And so Caleb is going to come to the leader Joshua and make a request. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. By the way, that's the second time we read about that. Altogether, there's six times we read about that phrase. He wholly followed the Lord. Verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly follow the Lord my God. Sure, Caleb suffered, and there was hardships, and there's pain, and misfortune, and disappointments, and we'll face some of those, I would suspect, another year, a new year, sometime in the new year. Caleb had to endure a lot. But he had this attitude of fortitude. He wholly followed the Lord. And that's one of the secrets of another spirit that he had in him. Caleb the sufferer, Caleb the follower, Caleb, thirdly, the believer. By that I mean this: he believed God and God's promises to him and to the nation. God promised them the land of Canaan. He said, go in and take it.
take it. He believed God, and he believed God's promise, though it looked overwhelming. There were strong people there, giants in the land, mountains to climb, though there were walled cities to climb over or go through. He knew all that was there, but he believed God and the promises of God. I suppose that one of the best ways to show his faith is compare it with the unbelief of those other spies and the nation. Caleb believed God's word and was ready to enter the promised land. Unbelief says, we're not able. We're not able to go in. Caleb comes back with a good report. That's faith. He defended Moses, encouraged the nation to enter the promised land. But unbelief gives an evil report, discouraged the nation from going in. Caleb delighted in the land. Israel seemed to despise the land. Faith, many times, is in the minority. Unbelief is in the majority. Caleb saw the opportunities. He saw the prospects. Unbelief looks at the obstacles and the problems that lie ahead. Unbelief is looking at the giants. And by the way, later it says there that they were as grasshoppers in his sight. They're looking at grasshoppers and they're looking at giants. But faith is looking at God and His promises. You know, someone sat down one time, or maybe several days, and they counted the promises of God in the Bible. You know, there's over 7,400 promises in the Bible. Now, many of them don't apply to us. It just applies to the nation of Israel. But you know, a lot of them do apply to us. You know any promises of God that you can hang on to this new year? Promises such as, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith, even our faith. Caleb, the believer. And God's going to ask us this new year to believe His promises and to believe in Him and to trust Him and to lean hard on Him in the various circumstances we meet with. Finally, in his spiritual history, Caleb the conqueror. Caleb the conqueror. Now, here's a man, and we're going to read about it here in a minute. He's 85 years old, acting like he's 40 years old. And he's not looking for an easy chair and an easy job. Let's go to verse 12. Now, we've got to get verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as He said. He believed God these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. There he's believing what the Lord said. While the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, I am this day 85 years old. You know, that might have been his birthday. Maybe that day was his birthday. It may not have been, but anyway, he's 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. You know, dear friends, I wonder, as the years go by, as we have express our faith in God and give ourselves wholly to God, if there isn't some kind of an inner spiritual strength that we would not have if we looked at the negative, at the three dangling strings. You know what I'm talking about? Strength. People of faith are strong. Maybe not always physically, but on the inside. Now, notice this. Now, here's the job he wanted. Now, therefore, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You know what? He's not looking for an easy job. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for climbing mountains. He's looking for attacking giants. He's looking for, let's say, climbing over great walled fenced cities. Verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That was a secret, but now we know it. For an attitude of fortitude. Now, there's giants in the land. What are you going to do about them? He's going to get them. Can I put it that way? He's going to get them. Chapter 15, verse 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak. Remember the Anakims? Those giants? Which city is Hebron? And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Anamon, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he overcame those giants. Now I know, right at the time of dismissal, but here's the bottom line I want to share. There'll probably be giants next year that come to our lives. Oh, not literally here in the mountains of Hebron, but emotional, spiritual giants. There may be, we may have to face some serious physical problems, some financial pressures, with all the bills to pay and the insurance costs and high cost of living, and maybe you're not going to face some strained relationship, some broken relationship in a family member, a neighbor, a friend, a fellow employee. Giants. Maybe there's material needs that you're not going to have forthcoming right away. Maybe there's going to be conflicts at work, on the job. All kinds of home repairs and car repairs, and maybe it's going to even be a giant of prayerlessness and maybe laziness in the spiritual life. And maybe, yes, maybe unbelief. I don't know what your circumstances will be or what your situation is, but I believe I can give a couple of answers to it. One is certainly this. Wholly give yourselves to follow the Lord. And secondly, believe God and His promises to you. I close with Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for this life of Caleb. Yes, he had some times of suffering. hardship, misfortune. But nevertheless, he followed you. He believed you. And you gave him the strength to be a conqueror, to give him his promised inheritance. Lord, on our way to our eternal inheritance, as it were, in heaven someday, I pray that the older we get, the more trustingly we become, the more surrendered to you. You're the God of all grace, comfort, and wisdom, and you know what's best for us. And we'll thank you, Lord, for another year and for victory through Christ our Savior. We pray in these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, Amen.